All right. Hello, everybody. Hope inconveniencing and when doing it on Zoom. I hope it will be to us for those listening and those who can't listen, but at least we'll send the recording eventually. I think a year ago at this time we gave a share. There's a lot of confusion, a lot of questions, and Baruch Hashem, many things are a little different now. Or at least we have a little more clarity, Baruch Hashem. So I guess this year we have to go back a little bit, back to regular in terms of Pesach, and try to get a little clarity. What is it that we need to do? What is it that we don't have to do? How can we make things a little bit easier? And a lot of people have questions in terms of what do they have to do, what don't they have to do, and a lot of these things we've said over before. I don't know who's heard this year in the past, so we'll try to cover as many points as we can about some of the basics of getting your house ready for Pesach and still entering into the Yontif with some level of sanity and some level of Simchas HaChag. We don't want that the Yontif is, people dreading it and people not looking forward to it. So we'll try to give some clarity in that. And also I want to get to, towards the end, some basic questions of what people will have regarding this year when Erev Pesach is Chal on Shabbos. So how does that work with Mechiras Chametz, and how does that work with the meal, and we have to wash, and we have to eat challah, and our house is Pesach Day, and we're going to make challah, so what are we going to do? And all these things that I'm sure are on people's minds as they're getting ready for Yontif. Okay, so, and if there's questions, you can, everyone's muted automatically, but anyone that has a question should definitely unmute themselves and ask a question. Either we'll get to it then, or we'll get to it a little bit later. Okay, so all right. So let's start. So the thing I always mention is that when it comes to cleaning for Pesach, people have a tendency to be concerned about even the most minute of crumbs and the most minute of possible chametz that exists anywhere. And what that ends up doing is causing people a panic that, hey, how am I going to clean, between every crack, and how am I going to clean and scrub every piece of Lego, and how am I going to get down and clean, between the tiles, and how am I going to, clean every crack of every drawer. And it can get very overwhelming, every book and every this and every that. So again, for those that have heard this before, so we're just going to go over it. But again, I'm not going to say that there is a minhag in Chazal and the Free of the Kedairis, and all say that chametz is mashu, chametz even a little bit is aser. And the minhag in Chazal, it's brought down in Chazal, but it's brought down, there's such a minhag to scrub your walls and all that. So there's definitely such a thing. But this that we say chametz, even a crumb is aser, what that means is that even a crumb that falls into your food is a problem with the food. But that doesn't mean that there cannot be crumbs in your house. Crumbs is not a problem. Crumbs are on the floor. Crumbs doesn't matter. Crumbs are bottle. Crumbs are dirty. No one's going to eat any crumbs. And we're not concerned if there's crumbs all over the place. So even the Brisker Rav, who anyone knows anything about the Brisker Rav, knows how machmer the Brisker Rav was on every single chashash of chametz, or any single chashash or concern about any isser. And there was a story that Rav von Gorwitz tells over, that he was a Talmud by the Brisker Rav, and it was in the later years of the Brisker Rav's life when he could no longer clean himself for chametz to do the bedika himself. And right after the bedika, the Brisker Rav made a bracha, asher kedushanu b'mitzvah tzivanu al bir chametz, and the Rav von Gorwitz got onto his hands and knees and started checking with a candle between the balatot in Eretz Yisrael, between the tiles, the little crack between the tiles. So the Brisker Rav says, what are you looking for exactly between the cracks? You think there's going to be an edible piece of chametz there? Don't look. Don't even bother looking over there. In other words, crumbs in places that it's not likely they'll be dirty and there's no chashash that there'll be chametz. Crumbs in those types of places are not something you have to be concerned about. What you do have to be concerned about is sizable pieces of chametz, like a Cheerio size, a pretzel, something that could be, if someone would find it on Pesach, that we try to be boydik for, that we try to clean for. So really, the job of cleaning for Pesach is meant to rid the house of edible pieces of chametz. So in that means that anywhere else in the house, besides the kitchen, let's talk about, anywhere in the house, if you're talking like a bedroom, you don't really need to scrub down the drawers where your children's socks are, because there's no one's going in there to eat the drawer. No one's eating the drawer, no one's eating the socks. There's no reason to worry about crumbs over there. So what you have to really, if you have a strict no food policy, so it's one thing. But even if you have a strict no food policy, your kids have a hide from your parents and bring food into your room policy. So it's possible that there is food in the rooms, but cleaning rooms doesn't mean scrubbing down drawers and all that. It means looking for pieces of chametz. So what looking for pieces of chametz is that you can if there's a reason to be concerned that maybe the food, you know, especially little children brought food into the rooms, you can open the drawer, you know, move around the clothes, look in the drawer to see if there's chametz, and you're done. And that's it. That's really how you check for chametz in those types of rooms. And then you sweep the floor and you check for places that there could be sizable pieces of chametz. But there's no reason to scrub anything down or do anything like that when it comes to those types of rooms. You just basically look for the chametz and look for big pieces of chametz. And same thing with the playrooms. In the playroom, so there's bins that may have chametz in them. So the way, you know, that taka could be a concern. So either you could put away those bins of toys, or you could take the bin of toys, empty out the toys, look for chametz, and put back the toys. And see if there was any real chametz in that particular bin. And that's it. Bookcases, what we do with bookcases that have children's books, and there's maybe a concern that maybe there was a cookie stuck back there or something, is that the lower shelves where the little children can get to, so we talk to take out the books from the lower shelves, see if there's chametz there, and put back the books. And that's it. Now, that's not to say that there's not a possibility that there's crumbs on some of these toys and there's crumbs inside some of those books if there's little kids playing with them. But the best, easiest way to avoid that problem is just make sure that little kids' books and toys don't come to the table on Pesach. So if you make sure that little kids' books and toys don't come to the table on Pesach, you don't have a concern anymore that any of the crumbs will fall into your food and you won't be eating any of those things. So therefore, you don't really have to clean that type of area. More than that, just look for sizable pieces of chametz. Okay. Now the next point is bags and things like that that you may use on Pesach. So let's say a purse or a backpack that you're not putting away with the chametz. So that taka you have to be a little more concerned about, because something like that you have with you and you have a bag and you put food in it and you may eat from there, or your hand goes into your purse and you may eat an apple or something like that. So there really is more of a concern, and those taka should be shaken out even from chametz. Like it says in Chazal that your pockets of clothing that you wear on Pesach should be shaken out from chametz, because there taka there may be a concern that you could find real chametz, first of all, and even little crumbs. There's maybe a concern. So bags that you're going to put food in on Pesach, that you're going to go on a Chol Moed trip or something like that, so you have a cooler, so you're going to put food in that type of bag, that taka should be cleaned out from chametz well. But kids' backpacks and stuff like that, you just sell with the chametz, and once you sell with the chametz, you don't have to be concerned about that if your minhag is you don't like to sell chametz gomer, so then you could just check it for real pieces of chametz, which I'm sure there are in there, pretzels and cookies and whatever snacks you packed your kids and you thought they were going to eat, and then you look at it, you look at it now and you realize that 3 months later it's still in there. So, and you realize that they never ate all those snacks that you have been giving them this whole time. So it's like piled up in your kid's backpack. So all that stuff you don't need to put away with the chametz that you could throw out, but you don't have to necessarily worry about the crumbs. You just put away with the chametz. So that's pretty much, things around the house. When it comes to things closer around to the kitchen, so there is more of a concern of even little crumbs, because there's a concern, there's a chash that maybe the crumbs, if you don't clean them well and food is around, that those crumbs could get into your food. So when you're talking about surfaces that you're going to put food on, for example, let's say your pantry or your refrigerator. So the minhag is that you cover those areas. So let's take one step at a time when you're coming into closer proximity and you're coming into the kitchen. So when you're coming into the kitchen, the dining room. So you're going to be eating by the dining room. So the dining room table, the minhag is you cover the table with a cover, and you don't eat on the table plain. The table's covered, and then you use a tablecloth as well. A tablecloth, by the way, you don't have to, if you don't have Pesach tablecloths, that's fine. You can just wash the chametz tablecloths as long as there's no food on them. You wash them, and that's okay. The dining room chairs and stuff like that, maybe there's a concern that there's a lot of gook or stuff or food, stuck there, and you are eating right there. It's probably a good idea to clean those, those chairs before Pesach. Same goes with the kitchen chairs. When you are coming into the kitchen, so the areas of the kitchen you're going to sell, the kalim that you're going to sell, the toaster oven, the microwave, the sandwich maker, these things, you could shake it out, from real chametz. You don't have to scrub it down. Your challah machine, your mixer, all these things that have stuff in it from the whole year, you're selling it, you can just put it away. You don't have to clean kalim that you are selling with the chametz. You just sell that whole area, you sell that whole drawer, and you put it away, and that's it. The areas in the kitchen that you're going to sell with the chametz, so the kalim, whatever you're going to mark off, all those areas have to be marked. Areas that are marked that are sold to the guy have to be marked off with tape and say sold or some sort of hecker, that it should be clear that it's that they're sold to the guy. Okay, now areas where you are going to put food. So the minhag is, Mishabura brings down, there's a minhag to cover those areas. So for example, your pantry, if the whole year the food is on the pantry, on the shelves, so you should really cover the shelves before you put the Pesach food in the pantry. The reason for that is because there are little crumbs and there are areas that it's very hard to get to clean all the way in the corners and stuff like that. So if you're not going to get to the corner, there could be little crumbs and stuck in there, which could get to the Pesach food, and that could be more of an issue. So therefore, there, taka, it's kedai, just instead of scrubbing and trying to get out every last crumb. So the two eights are either you spray those corners with some sort of bleach or some sort of cleaner that makes it not roi lachilas kelev, so you could spray those corners, or you cover them with paper, and by covering them, whatever's back there doesn't matter anymore, because it's not going to get into the food. So for sure, places that you're going to put food, mamish, you should cover. The refrigerator, the shelves and the drawers in the refrigerator should be washed, obviously. You wash down. So a lot of people, wonder that once they're washed, you need to cover them. So the minhag is that, the minhag, Mishabura says, again, areas that food will be placed on, even if they were washed, should be covered. If you can't get a fridge liner type of thing, then, if you wash it well, I guess it's okay. The reason by a fridge is even more of a reason to cover is because by a refrigerator, the the glass is usually in like a plastic. So there's like a groove around on the perimeter of the glass. There's like a groove where the plastic is holding the glass. And over there, it could be it's hard, a little harder to clean. So my suggestion would be that after you wash it, before you put the food down, you put some sort of a fridge liner down on the fridge. That would be the suggestion for those types of shelves. The drawers are a little harder because the drawers are the shape is awkward, and also you don't have holding the shelf. It's just a smooth plastic. So I guess if it's washed off well, you could be more lenient there. But again, you're putting food directly there. It probably is better to line it like the minhag of the Mishabura, that any place that you're putting food down is going to be lined. Okay. Now, okay. So the some people ask about the water dispenser in the fridge. If it only gives cold water, then if it's clean, you could use it on Pesach as well. You don't need a kasher or anything like that, but you shouldn't use it for hot. Let's say you have coffee, and because you don't know if maybe, during the year you use it for hot chametz and you're not kashering it and it's plastic. We don't kasher plastic for Pesach, but if it's cold and there's no real concern that you really did use it for chametz, hot chametz during the year, just cold water, you can use it for Pesach as well. Same thing with the ice maker. Also, you can use it for Pesach as well. So that's like the areas of the fridge. The places that you're putting your dishes and your silverware, so there's no minhag that you have to cover those areas because it's not where you're putting the food directly. However, one could argue that you have the same concern, that maybe there are like tiny crumbs or whatever in the corner, but it's not really the minhag of the Mishabura. So there, you could check it well, make sure that there's no crumbs left, over the year in the corners of the drawers or those cabinets where you're putting the dishes. And to be extra careful, you could spray those corners with that type of cleaner so that way you know that anything, if there is anything left over there, you could assume that it's not Roy Lachilas Kalev anymore. Again, some people do have the custom to line those drawers and shelves with, some sort of paper or something like that, to make sure that anything back there is not going to touch the plates or get onto the plates when you serve it. But I don't know if that's the ikar din. Now, areas under the, everyone asks about behind the fridge, under the fridge, under the stove, behind the stove. So under the fridge and behind the fridge, you're not mechuyev to move it. But if you did move it, you got to clean it. So you're not mechuyev to, move the refrigerator out of the way because unless the refrigerator has been installed within the last 30 days, it's a brand new refrigerator. But if it's been there for the whole year, you're not mechuyev to move it out of the way. You can leave it there. The stove, generally, it's not that hard to get under the stove because you can remove the drawer or something like that under the stove. If you can do it easily, it's kedai. But otherwise, you're not mechuyev to move the stove. If you have a gas stove, it's a very bad idea to move the stove because you could end up pulling out the whole gas line and that won't be fun. So just be careful with that. And I wouldn't do that. But you're not mechuyev to move the stove out of the way either. The areas between, let's say, the stove and the counter or the fridge and the counter, those little cracks. So the best eats on that is also to spray those areas with the cleaner so that you make sure that any chametz that's there that, snuck between the cracks becomes not roi lachilas kelev, and you just get rid of it that way. Okay, now, in terms of, That's as far as cleaning. Now as far as just koshering the rest of the kitchen. So the counters, kiyadua. So there's a lot of different opinions about the counters. So the counters is like this. The counters is like this. If it's a plastic for micro countertop, then it cannot be kosher. It's got to be covered for Pesach. If it's a granite countertop, pure stone, not an artificial stone, but if it's a natural stone like granite, then theoretically it can be koshered on Pesach with Haggalah. However, the Mishnah Berurah brings, now Haggalah would mean that you pour boiling hot water on every spot of the counter. What every spot means is that if it rolls too far, then it's not considered a direct hit from the boiling water. And Mimela, that wouldn't be good enough to kosher the counter. You would have to make sure that you pour the water on each spot of the counter, which obviously is a big mess, and it's a little complicated. If just two other things before you kosher your countertop, if you're going to kosher your countertop, number one is also you have to make sure it's perfectly clean. If you have a light countertop, that's easy to tell that it's clean, but you should feel it, because sometimes the dirt, it's hard to feel. You should feel it to make sure it's perfectly clean. That's very, very important, obviously. It's got to be perfectly, perfectly clean. I guess that's the main thing. So you have to make sure that it's perfectly clean. Because it's, number one, hard to ensure that you've hit with the water every spot of the counter. And number two, the Mishnah Berurah brings down that really, really pouring hot water may not reach the temperature that is needed to kosher the countertops. Why? Because sometimes you put on the chametz, on the counter, chametz, which is really hotter than the hottest water. For example, let's say you put a challah straight from the oven, you put it straight on your counter. So you bake the fresh challah, and then you take it out, and you put it straight on the counter. Now that challah now is like the oven itself. It's like a Kli Rishon mamish, because it retains the heat of the Kli Rishon. It's mamish like the oven. And pouring water is 1 degree lower than that, because it's the water that came from the Kli. It's not a solid, it's a liquid. Liquid loses its temperature quicker. Because of that, the Mishnah Berurah says it could be a concern to say that really the Haggalah does not kosher the counter. Because of this, some people have a chumra not to rely on pouring the hot water, but rather use what we call an Eben Meluban. Use some sort of stone to kosher the countertop. Now, how do you use a stone to kosher the countertop? This can get really messy. It could, if you don't know what you're doing, it's probably not recommended. But basically, the idea is that you warm up the water on the counter. You have this boiling hot stone, and you pour the water, and it sizzles the water on the counter. Now, that was what the Gemara suggests. There, Rav Scheinberg brings down that the modern day version of Evan Meluban is an iron. And what you can do basically is that you have the water on the counter and you pass an iron over the water, and the iron sizzles the water on the counter, so that now you've covered all your problems. Halachically, your mamish heating the water on the counter, so it's very hot, it's perfect, it kashers even if there was a challah there, and you make sure that every spot is boiling hot. I've heard from other people, even another Eitzah, which makes it even easier, is that you can maybe soak towels or paper towels, and you put them on your counter, and then you put the iron on this like paper towel, and then you hear the water sizzling there, which basically means that the water is sizzling and touching the counter at the same time. So you could definitely use the iron method, and by doing that, koshering your counter, as long as it's clean, and that would be enough to kosher your granite countertop. If it's any other sort of stone besides granite, or some sort of composite of other stones, you have to ask a shayla if that's really going to be enough to how that works in terms of koshering. We can't deal with every single material, but if you have a certain type of material that's not a straight stone, you have to ask a separate shayla. Okay, now that's the counters. The area on top of the counters, like underneath the cabinets, should be cleaned also, because the area underneath the cabinets sometimes gets grimy and has stuff on it. And on Pesach, also you could have steam going up there. So that the area underneath the counters, underneath the cabinets facing the counters, should be cleaned. And the backsplash also should be kasher the same way that you kasher your counter. Because again, the pots touch the backsplash. The sinks, there's multiple ways to kasher the sink. And you know, the regular what we grew up with was that you kasher the sink by pouring boiling hot water over the sides. Again, you have to make sure that you directly kasher the sides. Again, that's a little complicated. So you have to pour the water over the faucets, pour the water over the sides. When you are kashering and touch each spot, if you're concerned that you cannot necessarily touch each spot directly, then I don't really have a very good eitzah for this, honestly. You can ask my wife. The few times we tried other eitzahs, so either we broke something or it just didn't work. So I don't have I don't have enough insurance to make sure that everyone's account, granite doesn't crack or any of the other things that happens when you try to do the things that we've tried before. So, but basically, if you can get an insert and you don't want to rely on the Haggalah, then the insert, is obviously the most lechatchila, the most mehudar. But if you can't use that, then you can rely on the pouring. There's other eitzes how to do it. Again, similar to the Evan Meluban, you use the boiling hot stone to kasher your counter, your sink with the boiling hot stone, similar to the counter. Before you kasher your sink, it's not a bad idea to pour bleach or something down the sink so that if there's any chametz that's caught in the bottom of the sink, that chametz will become not roi l'achilas kelev, and b'meila, if it comes back up during the kashering process, it won't ruin, your kashering. So it's probably a good idea to pour down bleach before you start kashering. Before you kasher your sink, also, people know this, that you're not supposed to use the sink for hot chametz within 24 hours. You are allowed to use it for cold chametz. So there's no reason why, let's say you're going to kasher Motzei Shabbos, people can wash and do other things in the sink. It's just you can't use it for hot chametz, but you can definitely use it for cold chametz, for cold, and there's no problem with that. In terms of your oven, if you have a self-clean oven, you can turn the oven to the hottest and turn the oven to a two or three hour cycle on the self-clean. That will kasher the oven. According to most shittas, that kashers the door. According to some shittas, that does not kasher the door. The door does not reach that temperature. And if that's the case, then you can cover the door to make sure that the door, because the door didn't reach that temperature. If you don't have a self-clean oven, then the racks, you should find someone that has a self-clean oven and put your racks in their oven in order to kasher the oven, to kasher the racks. But the rest of the oven, you can rely on Byron Cutler held that you can kasher the oven if by turning it on to the hottest for about 2 hours, and that would kasher the oven. Not everyone relies on that, but if you have no other oven, you can rely on that. Turn the oven on to the hottest for 2 hours, just the racks. You should either buy new racks or you should put them into someone else's oven that has self-clean in order to make sure that the oven is, the racks get kashered for Pesach. Okay, now some people supposedly have a new type of self-clean that doesn't work with heat. It works with only steam. So you have to know what type of oven you have. If you have only an oven that steams, that doesn't really work with fire, it doesn't burn it out, then you have to know if that will work. It's a shayla. So if you have that type of oven, you should ask a shayla. If you have a new oven, you should look into it. What type of self-clean does your oven have? Does it have a self-clean that works with fire mamish? Or is it a type of self-clean that is just with the steam? Okay, so if you have a brand new oven, you should be aware that not all ovens have the same type of self-clean that would necessarily work. Okay. Okay. The stove, the way to kasher the stove, the top of the oven, the stove, some people have, so let's take, electric, if you have a glass top, I have no etzah for you. Glass top, I don't really know how to kasher a glass top for Pesach. The only recommendation I have is to get separate burners or invest in another glass top and have an electrician come and put it in for you. It's like $300 and you'll own it. And you just have to get someone to come in and take it out and put it in for Pesach. I don't really know what else to say for a glass top. If you have gas, then, there's three parts. There's the racks and then there's the round thing. Basically, the way you can kasher for Pesach is you turn on the flame on the hottest and you cover it with like a blech or something like that for 15 minutes. And that spreads the heat around. And that will allow the heat to spread over that area and the mele kasher each burner. Now you shouldn't do more than one burner at a time, as we always say, because it's a chashash, it's a sakana, it's a dangerous thing to do too many at one time. It can get very hot. Also, when you're kashering, another thing is that the back of the stove, if you have like an old-fashioned range, not like a plain, a burner, but if you have a range that has like the back is the controls, so those also should be covered because the pots touch that. But make sure that you don't cover them too well because the bottom of that is usually where you have like a range. So on the bottom of the controls is where the heat of the stove or heat of the oven kind of hits the vent. So if you cover that vent, it will trap the heat and melt your whole oven, and that's very bad. So just make sure you don't do that, because you'll end up with an oven on pace. Okay, I have just a question here. What was the question? No, someone asked, you have to remove the oven door to clean it better. No, just clean whatever you can reach. Achia de magas. Whatever you can reach, you should clean, and that's pretty much it. When you're cleaning your oven before you self-clean it, you don't have to really scrub. You have to clean it pretty well. Just clean it, but the self-clean will take care of most of the problem. And all the ash and the black stuff that's left in the oven after the self-clean, you don't have to worry about that either. Okay? Okay. Let me just check my notes, see if there's anything else we can cover on the kasha cleaning. Okay, just a few things. Kashering, a few people just wanted to know about kashering. So the way you kasher is that I'm talking about now silverware and pots and pans. Frying pans cannot be frying pans is a different sugya. Frying pans have to be kashered by libun and things like that. But pots, pans, or silverware, the way you kasher it, they got to be clean. They shouldn't have been used for chametz for 24 hours. And then you can put them into a boiling hot pot and they become kasher that way. So if you put them into a boiling hot pot, you bring you have to have a big, huge pot. You bring it to a boil, and then you could stick the stuff in, and then the stuff becomes kosher as long as it wasn't used for 24 hours. Okay. Now, some people want to know, when I'm kosher, do I use a Pesach pot or a chametz pot? Now, the answer is that it doesn't really matter. It's like this. If you use a chametz pot, then you essentially have to kosher the pot before you use it. The way you kosher the pot before you use it, you take a chametz pot that was not used for chametz in 24 hours, you fill it up to the top with boiling hot water, you bring it to a boil, then you essentially just kasher it. Then you basically pour out that water, then fill it up again, bring it to a boil, and then you can then you can use that nakasher inside that pot. Same thing with the water, that the pot that you're going to use, or the kettle that you're going to use to kasher the counters. If it's going to be a chametz pot, then you should bring it to a boil, kasher the chametz pot, and then use the Pesach. If you use a Pesach pot, then bring it to a boil, that's fine. You know, and you don't have to do anything afterwards. If you're going to do hagala inside the Pesach pot, you're not just going to use it to pour out of, but you can actually do hagala in the Pesach pot. Then, after you finish all the hagala, you should again spill out the water, fill it up again, bring it to a boil, and essentially re-kasher it afterwards. So you got to either re-kasher it before or re-kasher it afterwards. Someone here asked about dishwashers. Can dishwashers be kashered? So I go with the shita that Moshe Feinstein says is that plastic cannot be kashered for Pesach. So if it's a stainless steel dishwasher, then, you know, with stainless steel dishwasher with no plastic parts, it could be kashered. I don't know if that exists. I think the racks are generally not stainless steel. So I would say it can't be kosher for Pesach. If you have a dishwasher that's stainless steel and you want to see if you want to get new racks, you could probably get new racks maybe. I don't know. But the stainless steel part could be kosher. The way you would kosher it is you run it 3 times and that would be enough. Okay. Let me see if there was anything else on this. By the way, the rings, people's rings should be cleaned also, because you sometimes have chametz in from the whole year. People bake with it. People do all sorts of stuff with the rings, and then they make Pesach food. So before you make your Pesach food with your rings, you should clean out your rings. I've heard some people even kasher the rings, for sure they should be cleaned. And same thing with the phone. People tend to be on the phone while they're doing a lot of stuff in the kitchen, so the phone is filthy with chametz. So then you're going to be on the phone when you're making your Pesach food. So you should probably also make sure that the phone is cleaned. Right now, all right. Okay. All right, so let me see. Is there any other questions on this part? Before we go into the next part about the cleaning and the kashering part. And if there's no questions, I'm going to go on to the other part. Okay. Someone asked about a mop. You don't need a special mop for Pesach because the whole point of it, it goes on the floor. And all the crumbs on the floor are not edible anyway. So you don't have to worry about the crumbs that the mop will, you know, anything on the floor is not a problem. You don't need to worry about that on Pesach. Okay. Now the, As far as, let me see if there's anything else just before we continue on the next part. Okay, fine. That's enough for now. The one thing I wanted to mention is also in terms of products, is that you don't have to drive yourself crazy about every product, you know, in terms of shampoos and all these type of things. The main two areas you have to be concerned with is perfume, because that has real alcohol. So those could be considered problematic and should either be approved on a list or put away. And second of all is vitamins. Even medication, you really have enough to be lenient on, that if you take medication, you should make sure you take your medication, and you don't have to be so strict to make sure that it's on, it's on a list or something like that. But vitamins is really a problem, because vitamins are not considered medication, and they don't necessarily, you know, you don't have the heter of medication, but you're really eating them, you're swallowing them. It's not like a cream or something like that. So vitamins, is a very strongly recommended to eat, to have kashal Pesach vitamins. If they have kidneys in them, then if you're using it for health reasons, then it's important, then, you know, then it's okay. I don't think you need a new broom for Pesach either. Again, most of the things which you're sweeping up is dirty chametz and not edible, and you don't have to be worried about that. I had a story, I mentioned it one year, with Rav Scheinberg, that I asked him, I was going away, I was a bachur in yeshiva, and I had my pants. And the pants, in, you know, the zach was then that you had cuffs on the pants. So it's full of crumbs. So I asked him, do I have to clean out all the cuffs before I go away for Pesach? So laughing at me, and he called over his rabbits. He's like, this bachur wants to know about his cuffs. He started laughing at me. He's like, well, cuffs, you crazy? What do you have to clean out your cuffs for? I said, I don't know, there's crumbs in there. I said, crumbs, you're going to go eat anything out of your cuffs? You crazy? So I said, yeah, but Chazal says you have to clean out your pockets. He says, a pocket, you can have a pretzel, a cookie in there. But stuff like that, you don't have to worry about. So, you know, the same thing about brooms. Okay, I don't know the answer to that question. Someone asked a question about Purell. Is Purell okay? I think I remember from last year that Purell, I have to check the list. You know, I have a list. I don't know the answer. I could check right now. But I'm not sure the answer to that question. I know they have alcohol. It's true, but I don't know the answer to that question. I have to check a list, what type of alcohol they have. Okay, I'm sorry. Now, just quick halachas for Erev Pesach when it falls on Shabbos. So the two things I just want to talk about quickly is, first of all, the Mechiras Chametz, and second of all, you know, where do you have your meals and all that, because I'm sure that everyone's thinking about it. So the minhag is that you cook all the food in your Pesach dishes, and all your Chametz dishes are away already. And the reason for that is because your Chametz dishes become, on Shabbos, halfway in the middle of Shabbos, you can't use them anymore. So they become mukta. And if they're dirty, how are you going to clean them? And you can't kasher your sink. If you're going to clean them in the sink, you can't kasher your sink afterwards. And anyway, you're not allowed to wash dishes on Shabbos. So how are you going to wash your dishes all together? And then you're going to put them away dirty. Like, what are you going to do with them? So therefore, the minhag is that you serve everything as Pesach, is Pesach dik already. All the food you're going to make, the soup and all the food for Shabbos is going to be cooked in Pesach dik. Pots and pans, and it's going to be served on Pesach dishes and everything like that. So the whole Shabbos is Pesach dik already, which is fine. However, the only one caveat with that is, what about the challah? There's a mitzvah on Shabbos, you have to eat challah. So you say, okay, fine. So it's Pesach, so I'll eat matzah. What's obviously the problem with that? The problem with that is you're not allowed to eat matzah Erev Pesach, because Chazal say is that you have to be excited for the matzah, and you're not supposed to eat the matzah Erev Pesach. So you can't eat matzah Erev Pesach, but all your food is Pesach, so you can't eat chametz. So now you're a little bit stuck. So what do? So most people have these fond memories of being children and being yelled at by their parents to make sure you eat over the plastic bag, and you know, don't make sure the crumbs don't get all over the place. And basically what you have to do is you have to eat a little bit of challah. You save a little bit of challah, and you give everyone enough challah that they eat like very quickly, and enough to be yotzei the mitzvah, which to be yotzei the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos is a kazayis. But since you made hamitz, since you washed all the tiyasadayim, you really have to have a kabeitza, which is about a medium-sized challah, one full piece of challah. And once you eat that piece of challah, you put away the chametz, and that's it. Now, lemaisa, most people don't have the nerves to eat challah right on top of their Pesach dishes, because they're eating their Pesach meal And we just said everything's going to be on Pesach dishes, and everything's going to be in the dining room, and everything's going to be where tomorrow night you're going to have the Seder. Now you're going to bring challah into there. I mean, I just spent a month cleaning the house, and I'm bringing challah back right into it. It makes no sense. So many people, what they try to do is they maybe go into a corner of a room, or maybe even on the porch or something like that, and they have all the challah in a different room. Okay? So that's what many people do. Just if you're going, I'm explaining right now the minig based on that you're going to eat challah on Shabbos for your meal, for your Friday night meal, I mean for Shabbos morning meal. There are other minhagim that people throw around, like using egg matzah and all that. It's not so poshut to use egg matzah. There's really three shilas with egg matzah. Number one child with egg matzah is that according to Ashkenazim, you don't necessarily, even Shurisfire, you don't necessarily wash on egg matzah. So it's like maybe you didn't fulfill your Suda Shabbos, number one, especially in the Rambam. So you have to eat bread. Maybe it's not considered bread. Number two is that maybe you didn't gain anything because according to a lot of opinions, it's chametz. And our meaning is you don't eat chametz. Ashkenazim don't eat egg matzah after chatzos on Friday. So you don't necessarily gain much. And the third child is the opposite. Maybe according to Sephardim, maybe it's matzah. It's not chametz. You're not allowed to eat it at Pesach. So the egg matzah thing is not as glamorous as it sounds. Not so pashut. And therefore, the suggestion, pashut lahalacha, is to just eat challah. Okay? If someone can't because they have too many kids or they just don't have the nerves for it or whatever, so then, you know, there are certain types of egg matzahs that you could recommend. I heard a shiur from Shlomo Miller. He recommends certain types of egg matzahs that have grapefruit in it for whatever, grape juice in them for whatever reason. And you can make an etza with the egg matzah. But otherwise, you should eat challah. So what do you do with the challah? So you should only have the bare minimum amount of challah that you need for the two meals. And you can eat it in a different room. Now, if you're going to eat challah in a different room, if you need challah in a different room, then you should also make kiddush in that room. Because the halacha is that ein kiddush el makom suda, and the kiddush should be made wherever you're going to eat the challah. Unless the room, you can mamash see the two rooms together. You see the room that you're eating the challah in is mamash next to the room that you're having your suda in. So you can mamash see the two rooms, then it's not a problem. Then you can make kiddush by your dining room table and then wash and have challah, you know, somewhere else. But if otherwise, really, you should make kiddush and challah should be in the same place. Okay, the kiddush and the challah should be eaten in the same room. So let's say you're eating outside. So if you're eating outside, then let's say in the porch in your backyard. I'm saying your backyard because your backyard is fenced in. So it's better to eat in the backyard than the front. So because it's more considered like part of the house. So then you should make kiddush and challah outside. And then you can go inside and finish your meal. Okay. Wipe down the crumbs and leave them outside, and then you could finish the meal inside. The question, if you do that, is where do you bench? So I heard an interesting etza from Shlomo Miller. Shlomo Miller said that you're not allowed to bench inside because you didn't have any challah inside, unless you're going to have mamash one bite of challah inside is enough. So he even suggested is that while you're eating your last bite of challah, you walk inside and swallow it inside so you can bench inside. But obviously, that's not really so shy for most people. So he actually said that if you're not going to eat any challah whatsoever inside or any mezainis, because you're not going to eat anything like that, you're just going to have your potato kugel and chicken or whatever, then you should actually go back out to bench. So, you know, that's what he said. But that's basically the etza that people do. Some people want to know, what about eating pita bread? Yeah, pita is the same thing. Pita is challah. That's fine. The reason why people talk about pita is because it's very convenient, because it's a shalim. It's like a loaf of bread. You don't need to cut it up. So you could give everyone a mini pita or something like that. And they don't make a lot of crumbs. The nature of pita is they don't give a lot of crumbs. So pita is fine. Now, The other eitzah is you eat by your dining room table. You eat everything on plastic, and then when you're done, you just wrap up everything. But the problem with that is you wrap it now. Where you're putting it exactly? You know, you're putting it in your garbage. So now, you know, as long as it's mamish, what you could do is, one second. So before I get to that, so then, you know, you finish the challah, you bench inside, outside, you're fine. You have no crumbs. You have your challah, you had a kiddush. Now you may have miscalculated and you may have a little bit of extra challah. So what do you do with a little bit of extra challah? A little bit of extra challah, you have to flush down the toilet and you flush that down Shabbos morning before the zman of the Isser Chometz, and then you're fine. Okay, so Friday night you have a regular suda. You just have your kiddush and challah outside, no problem. Shabbos morning, what's the problem is that you can't wait and have your suda at 11:30, 12 o'clock like you normally do, because you're not allowed to eat chametz then. So what you do is, most people have a minhag, you know, they daven early, they get home early, and they eat and they finish their meal by 10 o'clock, so that they've already eaten their chametz and they're done their meal, for sure their chametz part of their meal, by 10 o'clock. Okay, and then again, you throw out whatever chametz you did not eat, throw it in the toilet, get rid of it, shake out whatever, you know, crumbs you have outside, and then you're fine. The last minute chametz shouldn't be thrown out in your garbage, bigger pieces, because then you have chametz in your garbage. So you shouldn't do that. If it's tiny, tiny crumbs that are bottle and dirty, so like we said, we're not so concerned about dirty pieces of crumbs that are in your garbage. That wouldn't be necessarily such a problem. If you're going to eat the chametz on your dining room table and you're just going to have plastic and everything, so again, take the bigger pieces, put them in the toilet, and the crumbs you could wrap up and throw them out. You know, maybe better, you know, maybe pour something on them that they become not roy. I'm not sure about that. And that's it. And you throw out the plastic and you take out the garbage. And if it's only little crumbs, that's okay. So those are really the two eitzas how to do this. There's another issue of shal shittis. What do you do with shal shittis? Obviously, you know, if you're makbid to have shal shittis with bread, which is the ikar halacha, so in the afternoon you can't have challah and you can't have matzah. So what bread can you have? So most people just have a little bit of peiris or something chashev. If you want to be very machmer, you can have knedlach, if you eat gebraks, because knedlach are not chametz and they're not matzah, and you can make a mezainis at least. And some people, in order to be yotze the mitzvah of having shal shittis with bread, split up the morning meal. So they'll wash, they'll eat part of the first course at 9 o'clock in the morning, bench, take a half hour break, and then wash again. And you know, wash again for shal shittis, which is going to be the second part of their morning meal. And they can do that as well. That's another way to do it. That's not necessarily, you know, it's okay. It's a big rush to do that. And some people do that, and that's also fine. Okay, now, what happens if, Taka, there's just a lot of leftover chametz? You didn't calculate it right. You left out some. You didn't include that in the sale. So what do you do with it now? So there's a couple different shitas on that. And Lemaisa B'Shom Zalman held that you're allowed to stick it back into the closet with the stuff that you sold to the guy. So I wouldn't necessarily know if we should do that with chametz gomer. Chametz mamish itself, you should really just get rid of, break it up into pieces and flush it down the toilet. But if you have any chametz leftover stuff that you just want to put away, you know, benchers or whatever, that all that stuff you could put in, you're allowed to add those into the closet where the guy, where you sold to the guy, as long as it's before the Zman Isser Chametz. So I don't remember what time the Zman Isser Chametz is this year. I think it's about 11:30, 12 o'clock. So whatever the Zman Isser Chametz, you're still allowed to stuff things into the closet that you sold to the guy, and you're allowed to do that. Most people, what the minig is, you sell everything to the guy on Friday, and you just set aside the few things that you need for Shabbos. The chametz, hopefully, you'll finish, aside for the little crumbs. And the other little things that you want to keep out that you'll have to put away, that you're allowed to put away with the chametz, with the area that you sold to the guy. You should remember that if you had chametz erev Pesach, maybe you should cut a piece of floss or something like that, and you could clean your teeth also, because if you chewed chametz, you don't want chametz in your teeth approaching Pesach. Okay, it's 9:45, so if there's any questions, we could take questions. But I think other than that, we tried to cover most of these questions. According to a message I got here, the Star K list says that all sanitizers, if someone needs it for health reasons, allowed to use it. I'm not sure what that means. You have to check the Star K book. I'm not, you know, they talk about it there. As far as the garbage cans, in North Miami Beach, we have garbage pickup on Thursday. You should really get rid of most of your chametz by then. The garbage that you know, the last minute garbage that you have, again, like I said, you really shouldn't have in your garbage chametz, which is edible pieces. You can have crumbs and stuff like that, but you shouldn't leave real chametz necessarily in your box of Cheerios, you know, full box of chametz or real edible pieces of chametz. You really shouldn't eat that. Leave that around in your garbage on Pesach, because just because it's in the garbage doesn't mean it's not edible. Okay, so if it's little crumbs, yeah, obviously it got dirty and it's not edible. But if you throw out a full cake, you know, and you put it in your garbage, it's still edible chametz and it's in your reshus. So it's better not to do that. Anything you're going to throw out in your garbage should be, you know, broken up and into small pieces so that it's not edible anymore. Okay. The cleaning the garbage can, again, the garbage can is dirty. There's nothing really in there to clean, but, you know, it's in your kitchen and whatever. So some people are just more comfortable cleaning the garbage can. The outside garbage has a lot of, could be, has pieces of chametz that fell through over the course of the year. So you should check the outside garbage to make sure it doesn't have any edible chametz in it. But otherwise, it's really batel. One second. Yeah, it seems like hopefully that there will be a garbage, you know, a place to bring your garbage on Friday morning. So keep your eye out for that. Okay. Oh, one other thing important is last year, because due to COVID, we were makel on people that bought new kalim for Pesach, that they didn't have to be toivel some of the kalim because we sold them to the guy. So the items that you were going to use on Pesach, we sold to the guy. And since we sold it to the guy, you were allowed to continue using those kalim without tefillah. However, we said at the time that's really a one-year heter. And therefore, this year we're buying back all those things from the guy. So if you had something that you bought last year and you did not tefill it because you relied on that heter, you should remember that this year you should go be tefill it because it's going to be bought back from the guy, and there's going to be a mitzvah to be toivolet. So that's an important point. Someone asked about the sink. If I'm going to cover the sink, do I have to wait 24 hours? The answer is no. You're not mechuyev to. But even if you're covering the sink, it's probably a good idea to just do a quick, you know, it's probably a good idea to pour some hot water all over the sink, not like major, but maybe a kettle and pour. Because I don't know if you've had that experience, but we've had the experience that sometimes the stuff backs up into the sink. So if you don't want the sink to get full and then back up into your insert. So therefore, I would say it probably is a good idea to wait the 24 hours and maybe pour a little bit of hot water around the sink before you cover it. You're not mechuyev to, but I think it's a good idea. Okay? Okay. If I kasher my sink with boiling water, do I need to buy a new sink rack, or can I use the one from the year? You should buy a new sink rack, because I don't know exactly what fell on that and what used it. The sink rack you should buy, you should get a new one. Like I said, you're not mechuyev to, yeah. That's right. You have to cover the oven and the fridge handles. So you don't have to, but they should be cleaned. So if you don't feel like you're going to clean them well, then you should cover them. But technically, the fridge handle, again, it, over the course of the year, for sure, it has stuff on it, so it should for sure be cleaned. It doesn't have to be covered. It should be cleaned. If you're not confident in your cleaning, then you should cover them. Must spices be replaced for Pesach? Bought for Pesach last year? No, anything. Oh, if you use it throughout the year, yeah. I mean, spices shouldn't be used. Even kosher or Pesach spices, I don't think that they should be used from Chametz to Pesach. There's a lot of reasons besides the outside is all dirty, the outside of the container, but even inside, the steam and stuff like that, you should have special spices for Pesach, I think. I would recommend having special spices for Pesach. Okay. Okay. So if anyone has any other questions, here's your chance. And okay. Okay, very good. So it looks like we covered most things. And all right, if anyone has a question, you can feel free to ask. And Mitzvah Hashem, it should be a good yontif. There is one Indian that I saw brought down from Chafetz Chaim that I'll mention. Let me just find it here. One second here. The Gevaldik HaChavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim, I saw Rabbi Yitzchak Sorotzkin brings down Maisa. The Chavetz Chaim one time traveled to a place, and he traveled to a city and to speak to a group of women. And he said, he said that the Gemara says, as well known, is that Asara Kabin Sicha Yardu Lailam, 10 portions of conversation, of talking, came down to the world. Tisha Natlu Nashim, and 9 of it came to women. So most people say, you see, that's the biggest raya, the women talk a lot. Many husbands use this as an open Gemara, as a clear raya, that women talk a lot. Now, the emphasis is that there's an interesting lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Asara Kabin Sicha Yardu La'ilam. The word used for talking and conversation in this case is Sicha. Now, Sicha is not the normal words, the wording that you would use to explain, to describe kind of schmoozing. Usually you would use a different term. You would use Dibor or something. So where else is Sicha used? Where else is Sicha used? Sicha, ein Sicha el Lashon Tefillah. Sicha is used by Yitzchak Avinu. When it says that Yitzchak made Mincha, it says, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basadeh. He did Sicha in the Sadeh. Sicha is it's a certain type of conversation with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's Tefillah. The Gemara says, we say in Tehillim, Eshboich Lefanov Sichi. So Chafetz Chaim said, this that the Gemara is saying, that Tisha Kabin of Sicha came to the world, doesn't just mean conversation, schmoozing, that women are talkative. What it means is that there's Tisha Kabin of the Koich of Tefillah came into the world. And the Koich of Tefillah is miyuchad for the Noshim more than 9 times more than for Anoshim. And this that it says in Chazal, it's first in the Psukim, that the Geula of Mitzrayim came through the Tefillah of Klal Yisrael. It specifically came through the Tefillah of the women. That's what the Chafetz Chaim would say. And that the Tefillah of the Noshim is what gave the Klal Yisrael the Schus to leave Mitzrayim. And as Chazal say, the Schus that they left Mitzrayim is going to be the same Schus that they are going to have when they're going to get the Geula Asida. So Memela, it's really the Schus of the Tefillah of the Noshim which will ultimately bring the Geula the same way that it brought the Geula in the first Geula. So mitzvah Hashem, if everyone is mischazek and using opportunity, as obviously we're all busy and getting ready for Yom Tov, but leading up to the Yom Tov and the Chodesh of the Geula, to continue davening for Klal Yisrael and to continue davening that we should all see the end of all the tzaras, and we should all experience the Geula, the Meher of Yemenu, and all the tefillas, especially the tefillas of the Nashim, should be answered and should help us bring the entire Geula, the Meher of Yemenu. So I thank everyone for coming, and hope it was helpful. We will, the shir, someone asked me, the shir was recorded, and hopefully it will be on the Kol's website. We'll put it up there also in case anyone wants or wants to share it with someone. Okay, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night. Thank you.